The message today is from Hebrews chapter 3. We have begun this 2 weeks ago, and we will continue on that today. If you have the word with you, we'll read it together. Hebrews chapter 3, beginning in verse 6, and we'll stop at verse 11. But Christ is faithful as a son over God's house, and we are his house if we hold on to our courage and the hope of which we boast. So as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the desert, when your fathers tested and tried me and for 40 years saw what I did. That is why I was angry with that generation, and I said, their hearts are always going astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declare on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. Let's pray. Father, the text that we read remind us of two opposing views. One is that we are already in your house. We are your household. We are your children because Jesus died for us and ushered us into your home. And we are your sons and daughters. On the opposite of that, there is this reminder that our hearts always wander away from you, and we really don't know your ways. And there's that fear that we may be abandoned, and we cannot reach the destination in which you planned for us. So as we come together in the midst of these opposing feelings through the text, I pray that you minister to me and minister to all of us. In Jesus' name, amen. This text that we read, I think the main verb is the verb to hold on. The Greek word is essentially say, put your hand down. And it's as if our hands are ready to reach out and grasp other things in life. And when we do that, we are on a speedboat, right? And if you don't hold on, we fall. I think that is the image of this text. And so the Holy Spirit has said, but listen to me, listen to me. You know, like the guy who's, you know, riding the boat and said, hold on, I'm going to speed up. And so you hold on so you don't fall back. So the hope here in the text is that the Holy Spirit is guiding. The Holy Spirit is whispering. The Holy Spirit is calling. And so you and I, in spite of being a speedboat and is running high, and we would, there are things around us that we want to grab. The Holy Spirit said, no, listen to me. Three things I want to talk about today, and one is hope. The second thing is the confidence of hope. Hope inspires confidence when you have it. And the third thing is that hope also inspires boasting. Sometimes it can be interpreted as pride in God. But it's this boasting thing. Okay, I know that the time is running and some of you may have other things to go to, but stay with me here so that we can get through the message, and I do my best. to make sure you get all of it, because that's essentially where we want to go, to rest God. The word hope appears 6 times here in the book of Hebrews. The first time is here in chapter 3, verse 6. Hope here talked about we already have it. And so we have to grab hold on to it. So when did we have hope? Hopes come along with faith. Hope is the twin sister of faith. They're born together. They conceive together. They are part of the same package. When you receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, when Jesus come into your life and give you faith, hopes come along. They both come into your life. When you have faith in Jesus Christ, then you have hope of what you don't see, which is eternity that God is giving to you through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, if you think you have faith in Jesus and you don't have hope, then you don't really have faith, because if there's no hope in faith, you don't have faith. They are part of the same package. If you hope so much in heaven, but you don't have faith in Jesus Christ, like some of these people who don't believe in Jesus and think that they're going to go to heaven too, it's an illusion. This is not real hope, because hope is in God. Hope is in Jesus Christ. Okay? So here, chapter 3 began to talk about Jesus Christ as our apostle, as our high priest who represent us in God. And because Jesus is the Son of God, he died for us and he called us into his own. And so we become the children of God because Jesus died on the cross, take away your sin and mine, and he rose to life and give us that hope. And so we hanging on to Jesus. So it began in chapter 3, he talked about hanging on to Jesus, hold on to Jesus. But as the movement in chapter 3 to chapter 4, it points us to the rest in heaven, eternal rest in heaven. So this hope ties those two things together. If you have Jesus, then hang on to Jesus, because Jesus is going to give you hope. And hope is the rest in eternal life in heaven. Then we go to chapter 6, verse 11, and here it talked about there's some people who are not able to grapple with hope, not able to sustain hope, or that hope is fleeting. And he talked about there are a couple things here that first, they are not diligent. Now, if you think you have hope, but hope is kind of fleeting from you, check it out. It may be that you're not diligent with the faith. When it comes to go to church, you don't want to go. When it comes to go with the believers, you don't want to go. When it comes to giving to God, you don't want to give. That is part of not being diligent about the faith, not really live with the faith. The other thing that verse 11 kind of talked about is that there are people who are just simply lazy. I don't know about you. Sometimes I do. I feel lazy. My wife had to kick me out of these chairs to go help her out. And when it comes to faith, some of us are really lazy. We take our books, our Bible into church, and we read Sunday, but when we get home, we put it away, and we are lazy. And we put it away. And that is part of we in the church together, in the faith together, but some of us are lazy. The other thing is, this text talked about, that we are impatient. It really feels like when you are in the boat with God, when you are in this boat of faith with God, there are problems that come in. And you're not very patient with God. Maybe sickness, maybe disease, maybe you're longing for a career to come into your life and you never get there. or it seems like it forever, right? And that's never come to you. And so you want to get out of the belt of faith. But that is part of the dilemma of not holding on to hope. And those things kind of get into you. Now, when we go to chapter 6, verse 18, then the author said, when you look at hope, hope is not in you in the sense that it is your ability to do, but the hope that is in you is really in God, and God is in you. When you have this hope anchored not in your ability, but is in God, then that's what you have hope. And it talked about Abraham and the hope that Abraham had, and he attained that hope. And they said, God promised to Abraham, give an oath to Abraham, but there's no greater than God himself. So he put an oath upon himself that I am God and I will bless you. And so Abraham trusts in God. So the trust in God, the hope in God, that God will do what he promised, that is the hope, that is the center of the hope that we are looking at. And so as we continue to read on, we will come to say the high priest of Jesus is better than the priesthood of Aaron, because Aaron died and the priesthood fell. But Jesus is priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. And so we can trust and hope in Jesus because he's there always in God. And in chapter 10, it said the blood of Jesus is better than the blood of the animals that God said you can use to cleanse your sin, because Jesus died once and for all. And so what Jesus has done is really good for you eternally. So when we talked about hope, is that this hope must not be on you, not on your ability to do it, but it's always on God himself as the creator of the universe, is the only God. And whatever he promised, he will do. Now, this hope must be anchored in God and in his words alone and not in anything else. Once you have this hope in you, there's two signs. This text talked about two signs that will reveal whether this hope is alive in you. So that's why it talked about the confidence of hope. In the Greek, it said the confidence and the boasting of hope. What really means is that if you have hope, then hope gives you confidence to live, but also at the same time, it gives you kind of crazy boasting about God. Now, let's talk a little bit about confidence. Confidence in the Greek parousia means that you are not shaking, you are not wavering, you are steady, you are solid. Solid in what way? Solid in the way that you talk and solid in the way that you live. Both of those are considered confidence from that Greek word. And sometimes that also gives you an aura of freedom. You can live freely because you have this confidence in God. So the Greek word has a broader meaning there. The author of Hebrew, when he said, hold on to the confidence of hope, he, in verse 7, to 11, he point to the history of the Jew. What I want you to talk about, to hear about having confidence in God, in your speech as well as in your action, I want you to go back to history. And the Holy Spirit said, I'm calling you to go back to history. Look at the history of the Jews as they're coming out of Egypt. They spent 40 years with God in the desert, and God did a lot of miracles. But the majority of the people did not have this living hope. They think they have God, they think they have faith in God, but hope was not alive in them. When Moses came to the border of Canaan that they were about to go in, Moses sent 12 spies to go and spy the land and come back and report. 10 of the spies report that the land is wonderful, it's great, but we will not be able to conquer it because there's giant men who live in there, and we are just little bugs. But also they have cities that built around with walls, and so we won't be able to penetrate those walls. So forget it, guys. We can't go. All the people of Israel believe those 10. There's only 2 that don't believe those reports. Those are the other 2 spies that went with them and come back. One is named Joshua. The other is named Caleb. Caleb and Joshua report a different story. They said, yes, those are true, but the land is great. But God has already promised us, and this war is God's war. God already put fear in the kings and of those people. And so if we don't rebel against God, but put God on who he is, put our trust in him, then we will conquer the land. But the people is about to stone them to death. And God then made a decision. God decided, you guys don't trust me, so you won't go. All of you won't go, just those 2 will go. Even Moses did not get to go. That's how bad it was. And so this text then points us to, when you're looking into confidence, you need to look into the confidence of Joshua and of Caleb. And so look at them. Learn from them. And they spoke to the Israelites in confidence that God has brought us here. God had conquered Pharaohs and conquered the Red Sea and give us food in the desert where there is no food. Our animals are alive and we ourselves are alive, and because God sustained us and God will give this land to us. They took what God has done in the past, projected into the future, and said, what God has done in the past, who God has demonstrated himself in the past, God will do that in the future, and that is my faith, that is my hope. I can live confidently with God in that. Now, after they conquered the land, we found in Joshua 14, verse 6 to 15. You can read in your Bible. But I'm going to just summarize. After they conquered most of the land except the high land, Caleb came to Joshua and said, you know, when God sent you and me and the team to come and spy the land, I was 40. Now I'm 85. Been 45 years after we spied the land. But look at me. God has sustained me in the hope that I have in God. And my strength is the same as it was 45 years ago. I can still go to war. And God has promised to me that this highland that I spy will be mine and my descendants. So give it to me. Give me a blessing so that I can go over there and conquer the land that God promised me. And Joshua said, go, because that's what God promised to you, and God bless you, and you will conquer the land. And Caleb and his clan go over there and conquer the land just as God had promised. He spoke with such an aura of confidence in God. And so he got the land to himself. Now, we can look at boasting. Boasting and pride, this is kind of odd to be associated with hope. But when you think about it, it is really there. It's really there. The reason that we kind of not sure about this, and even the translators of the NIV find that when you read the translation here, you kind of get a sense of, oh, maybe it is difficult to translate. And yes, it is difficult to translate because boasting doesn't go very well in the faith in God and in Jesus Christ, because God said, don't boast. So why God said, don't boast, but here God said, boast. They just kind of are. What we really found in the Bible about boasting is this, that God said in the Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23 to 24, this is what God said. Let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, or the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches. But let him who boasts about this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For in these I delight. So what the text really said is that there is an area of boasting, not in yourself, but boasting in God. And when we boast in God, it is somewhat kind of conflicting in you, isn't it? Because when you boast, it is your word, it's your face. And it is very difficult to do that because on the back of your mind, there's also this command, do not boast. Paul gave us a lot of explanation as to how we boast. In Romans chapter 5, verse 2 to 5, he talked a little bit about boasting in our weaknesses, boasting in God. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 to 12, five chapters, he talked about the proper boasting in God. And he said this in chapter 7, verse 14, Paul said, I boast about you, Corinthians, because I brought the gospel to you. You come to faith. God had shown his mercy to you, and you have been made, okay, to be the people of God. So I boast about you to Titus. Said, the Corinthians are great. God had brought them to salvation. They are such and such. You go and see. Okay, so Titus went over there and saw the Corinthians and come back. And Titus told Paul, what you said about those Corinthians are great. Yeah, just as you said. Now, Paul said, I can boast about that because I know about you. I know about your faith. And I can boast about your faith. As we go on, Paul would say in chapter 10, Paul said, God kind of give us a limit of how we are to boast. It's like God gives you a measure in your ministry. Okay? It's the gift that God gives you so you can boast about within the limit, within the measure that God gives to you. Paul said, I was given the measure of coming and evangelize the Gentiles. And so I came to evangelize you, and you come to faith. So I can, when I boast about what God has done through me to bring you to salvation, I can boast about that because that is proper. That's within the limits of my field that God has given to me. But Paul goes a little bit further. Paul said, but I not only that, but I can boast about another pastor's and his work. If there's a pastor that I know personally and he go out and done great ministries, I can boast about him and what God has done through him and to bring people to ministry. That is proper in my boasting, and that is good. Then he went on to chapter 12, and he said, I will continue to boast a little bit longer. And he said, the other things that I can boast about is about the vision that God has given me. And God has given me 14 years ago, like I see a man, but that was Paul himself, go into the third heaven and witness the heaven and said, there is no human words that can explain the heaven. And Paul said, I boast about that. The vision and revelations that God has given to me and show me and give me strength and help me to teach the word of God, to teach the Bible, I can boast about that because God has given to me. And Paul then went on to say, I can also boast about my weakness because when I'm weak, God's power coming through strongly. And so I can boast in my weakness. So just like Marcos earlier, he can boast about his weakness and not having confidence to lead worship and this and that. But God overcome those weakness and give him a ministry and help worship in the church. Paul said those are proper limits in which we can boast. So here, what boasting really is and confidence is really about your life testimony. What God has done for you and what God has done through you, you are to boast. And to boast means you are to give testimony about God and about the hope that God had given to you. So to summarize, I say this. If you call yourself a believer, examine yourself. Do I have this hope that is anchored in God and anchored in heaven? Do I have this hope that I will be in heaven? Or I kind of wish it was, oh, I don't know. That's God, but I don't know if I'm going to heaven. Okay. That's the first line of examination yourself. Do a self-examination. I have faith in God. Do I have this hope? Because they come together. If I have faith, I must have hope. If I think I have faith, but I don't have hope, then your faith may not be the right faith. Your faith may be false. Because they come together. They are twin sisters. When you have one, you have the other. Now, the second part is examine the hope that is in you. If the hope is in me and is alive in me, then I should speak confidently about God, about the things that God has done with me and through me. I have a life testimony, and I can speak confidence about that. I can go boasting about my God. Think about it. When you are with your friends, when you are with your coworkers, when you are with people that you don't know, and they ask you about your faith, do you have confidence talking, or are you kind of trying to minimize your faith and walk away? And if you kind of minimize your faith, then you are not holding on to the hope at all. You kind of just, you know, like the boat of faith is going forward and then you are falling backward. See yourself there. See yourself there. And examine yourself. Let me give you something about me that happened to me 2 weeks ago after I preached Hebrews chapter 3, right? I went home, and I received a mail from Social Security Administration about my Social Security payment when I retire, and it is peanuts. Immediately, what comes to mind is, well, if God did not call me out, I would made my money. I have put my money somewhere. I would have a pension or a retirement account, but I don't have any of those. God called me. All the savings that I had, all the money that my wife and I would put in our retirement, they're all gone. Well, I looked at it and I said, I will get sick. I will get infirm. I won't have any ability to make more money. So I went into a slide downhill in depression, right? Because that's what happened to you and to me. And so I went a day like that in this depressing mode. But because God gave me a job here to be a pastor and to also translate the Bible, so I went back to do editing of my my translation. So I come across Luke chapter 12. And Luke chapter 12 said this: you should not be afraid of those who can kill your body. I tell you, someone you should be afraid of. Be afraid of the one who's able to kill you in hell. Thrown you there. Yeah. Be afraid of that one. But why should you be afraid? The little birds, they sell cheaply on the street, is always in my Father's presence, and no one would fall to the ground unless he give permission to. All the hairs in your head are numbered. You are better than those birds. So when I come to that passage, the Holy Spirit said, hold on to the faith. Hold on to the hope. And so immediately peace came into my heart, and I was relieved of that depression. That depression just go like that. That is what this text is about. You will experience those situations in your life, but what God really wants you is to listen to the Holy Spirit, because if it is all depend on you, every one of us will fall backward and fall off the boat of faith. But if we listen to the Holy Spirit will bring us back into hope, bring us back into faith, bring us back into God, and so we can come back and hold on to it, because the Holy Spirit will always bring you back. So as a Christian, we are to listen to the Holy Spirit so that we can move on from one day to another. And whatever circumstances come into your life, you will have hope. And hope will then be alive in you. But hope is not cheap. Faith is not cheap. Don't think about it. That is cheap. It costs the Son of God.